Yo, what's up? It's your boy Matt, the meme lord for the Lord. It's Monday night. We do our thing every Monday night here. And when I say we, that's like the corporate lingo. But it's me. It's me on Meme Lord Monday. Every Monday I try and come on here, hang with you guys, talk about goofy stuff and sometimes serious stuff. We've been getting really, really serious lately. So I want this one to be a little bit more goofy than usual, just to lighten things up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Being a little too base lately, so we got to calm it down a little bit. But yeah, it's Meme Lord Monday. I like to laugh and think and talk to people who grew up in the church. That's what I do here. And today, basically, I asked you guys, like, I had something in mind that I wanted to talk about. And then I did a poll because some other stuff started coming along. Because the stuff that I like talking about is always stuff that you guys like will DM me, or stuff that I see like trending in my circles, I guess. And I kind of like the flow that I have going here, because it always seems to be different than what everyone else is doing. And that's me. I like to be different, like the same but different. You feel me? That's the way I like to be. I don't want to be reacting to the same, like, Maverick City, you know, apostatizes. You know what I mean? I don't want to be reacting to the same thing everyone else is reacting to. I want to just talk about stuff that no one else is talking about in my own way that you guys want to talk about. So, but anyways, I wanted to talk about a little bit of what was left over from last week, where we talked about when people are too based, and they basically just don't know when to chill. When they're talking and they're actually evangelizing, and they don't care about who they're talking to. And I wanted to kind of keep going off of that, because I got a lot of comments of people saying, well, you got to stand up for your faith because we can't just let people steamroll over us. And I mentioned that in the stream last week, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. But then you guys were in my DMs talking about whether or not we should talk to our kids about Santa Claus. And I'm like it kept happening. Like, it happened on Discord, it happened on Facebook, it happened on Instagram. So I'm like, all right, do you guys want me to talk about standing up for your faith, or do you want me to talk about talking to your kids about Santa Claus? And it was literally 50-50 down the middle. I don't know what to do, guys. I don't know. I don't even know what to do, because you guys are crazy. How did I get 50-50 on the poll? And now I have to talk about two things. I guess it works because I'm like ADD, AF as faithful and faithful. But anyways, what are you guys saying over here? I got everybody's just watching me right now. Okay, cool. By the way, dog, I'm atheist, but I love the memes. Hey, I do it for you. I do it for you, Mr. Person. That's literally his screen name, Mr. Person. So the first, I got to figure out a way how to blend these two topics together, because standing up for your faith and standing up for Santa, I got to figure out how to access my youth pastor powers. How you can be like, all right, you know what, guys, you know Santa Claus, you know what I mean? You heard about that guy, Santa, right? Knocks on everybody's door, you know, gives them gifts. You know who else is knocking on everyone's door? You know who else is giving gifts to men? you know who else is doing that? He's the Lord of my life, guys. Cue the music. I mean, I need to have some emotional music. Bro, I got youth pastor powers. I can do that. I just did that off the dome. I don't have any notes right now. That's off the skull right now. But anyways, I'll react to one thing here that's been shared around. So apparently, hopefully this works. Yeah, here it is. Apparently, boomers are mad that Santa Claus featuring Tim Allen has a moment where the kids who are doing like a play from the school or something like that, and it says, "I love you, Satan," because they messed up the words. It's supposed to say Santa, which is like a normal thing that kids do. But it's the website. I don't even know what website I got this from. They're saying, well, this is just, it might be a harmless joke, but we all know what Disney's doing behind the scenes. And so let me just keep scrolling here. I know could be a joke, or was it? No question mark, no pronunciation. And it talks about all the innuendo posts or things that Disney has featured within their videos. I've been hearing this since I was a kid, like since I was, man, like 10, 9 or 10. So we're talking about 90s, where The Lion King had innuendos in it, like hidden stuff, like when Simba lays down and then the words S-E-X pop up in like the what is that, pollen or whatever that comes up. And it's like, yeah, so they're always doing innuendo stuff. You can see it. They're always doing stuff. And in the word, in the name, Walt Disney, you can see the 666, the way he draws his W's and his eyes. It's all right there. Winnie the Pooh. See, you got the horns. And it's like, here's how I feel about it. All right. Like I said, I'm a dumb meme lord. So I'm just giving my commentary on dumb stuff that I see. I'm like, maybe, sure. Like animators, the way the animation works, there's usually a ton of people that do it. And I'm sure there's some people that like to troll and sneak some weird stuff in there. I'm positive that happens. But does it speak for like the whole company of Disney? Maybe. I don't know. Am I still going to watch Lion King? Yeah. I'm still going to watch Lion King. Am I still going to watch the Santa Claus? Am I still going to do that? Yeah, I'm still going to watch it. Here's where I get upset. It's like, it is a joke. And the thing is, the website acknowledges that it's a joke. And it's funny. It's a funny joke. It's something that, it's in plain day, and it's something that could realistically happen. But it's saying that that Disney is evil. I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know how people live like this. That's my thing. Like, how are you living like this, where every single thing is a demon, every single thing, oh, it's the devil, they're worshiping the devil, everything, bro? Like, can we please just have some peace in our life? I truly feel that people who live like this have no actual peace in their life, because they're looking out for the next thing that's going to get them, that, you know, might possess them, or might be in their car, might be in their home, might be possessed. Like, it just reeks of unrest. And if anything, the scripture says that there is no rest for the wicked. So it's like, why are you acting like you have no rest and peace? You know, you can't even watch a Disney movie without freaking out. Anyways, I wanted to try and talk about, like I said, at the beginning, I don't know how I'm going to tie these two topics together. I'm going to try my best. But and the topic of Santa, how do you guys, like, let me hear what you guys have to say. Yeah, the scene was hilarious. They misspelled it and they screamed in terror before fixing it. Yeah. What are you guys saying over here? Not for real. I'm anxious enough. I can't nitpick at these movies. That's what I'm saying.
The internet is more accessible than it's ever been. And with that has come an absolute pandemic of people addicted to pornography. This addiction statistically is affecting Christians and non-Christians alike. It's a problem. Porn is a human problem, but Covenant Eyes provides a human solution. Covenant Eyes helps you and the ones you love live porn-free through transformative accountability relationships. With Covenant Eyes, you choose someone that you know and trust to walk with you as your ally and to hold you accountable for your online behavior. Me and my friends use it, and I've seen it firsthand break the bonds of addiction in people's lives. This stuff works. So basically what you do is you download the Covenant Eyes app, it tracks the activity on your devices, and your friend, who's your ally, gets a victory app which shares your activity feed right to their phone. You and your ally will be able to celebrate victories together and have honest and caring conversations about your successes, setbacks, and triggers. Nothing works better than this. If you struggle with pornography addiction online and you're ready to see some victory in your life, download Covenant Eyes and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Try it out. I've gotten so many success stories from this app, and that's why I'm so happy that they've chosen to sponsor Meme Lord Monday. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. Use the link in the show notes of this episode and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Victory over addiction has never been easier.
Yeah, as far as Santa is concerned, so I guess I wanted to use that weird Tim Allen thing to segue into the fact that I know some really hyper religious parents won't talk to their, like, they'll think that the actually Santa is like a type of pagan demon. But for those who don't know, Santa is based off of an actual human called Saint Nicholas, who was a Christian, and he did give gifts to children, apparently. And yeah, he was a real human, and apparently he like punched a heretic, and so that was cool. Like he was a dope dude, and so I like that. That's cool. I know some people are like, why is it cool that they're punching heretics, Mac? Do you believe that we should be punching heretics? Oh, it's because you're a Calvinist, Matt, that you believe that people should be burned at the stake for being a heretic. Believe whatever you want, dude. You know, I'm two-based. You know what I'm saying? I'm two-based. Dang it. I needed my sound drop at that moment, that very moment. Oh, man. But, yo, so I guess on the topic of how do we talk to our kids about Santa Claus? Because like I said, there's some people that are very hesitant about even bringing up Santa Claus because it's kind of like an element of fantasy about it. There's a lot of fantasy about it. Okay. It's a big chunky dude. Sorry, I'm saying chunky. I'm too based. homie's BMI is through the roof. He flies around for what is it? 14 hours on a magical sleigh. And he has flying reindeer, and he delivers toys to every boy and girl and every home in the entire world, which is pretty cool. It's a cool story. It's a nice little fantasy story. But Christians are like, should I tell my kids that because it's not real, because it's fake? And some of the answers I've seen is like, well, I tell my kid that Santa is a cool thing to believe in, but he's not a real thing. And I probably should have done like a like a spoiler warning for anybody who's listening who's younger than like 9 or something. But yeah, like it's, how do you handle that? Let me see what you guys think. Okay, I'm getting some great comments here. Cybercat says, I think you could teach your kids about Santa, and then you were like, oh yeah, he's not real. They might not believe you when you teach them about Jesus. Right. And this is, I was going to get to that. Great point. So yeah, like, if you pull the bait and switch, I guess. I don't even know if that's the right term. Where it's like, this is really cool guy. He does all these amazing things, and he's real. He brought this present for you. And it's like, this kid is all hyped up about it. He believes, you know? He really believes and has the Christmas spirit. And then he gets older, and it's like, oh, he's not real, just so you know. And a lot of atheists will use this in their apologetics against Christianity, where they'll say, in the same way I believed in Santa, I believed in Jesus, but now I am enlightened and I no longer believe in Jesus because he was just as much of a fairy tale as Santa Claus. And it's like, oh, I get it, dude. I get what you're saying and I love you, but it's not really the same thing. It's the only thing that's the same is the way that your parents went about it and the way that your parents raised you. It's not that they're the same thing, because like I said, Santa is based off a real person. Jesus was a real person. I mean, there's a lot of atheists now that are saying that he wasn't. But I mean, I believe that there's a good amount of evidence showing that he was a real person. I certainly believe that he was. And I believe that he is a real person. I believe in him. But it's like, yeah, somebody said, God is Santa Claus for adults, is what some atheists will say. And so, yeah, how do you guys respond to that objection when somebody says something goofy like that? I want to know. Somebody says, I have a problem with all the lies you have to keep making to make your kids believe in Santa. Yeah, and that's the thing. It is a lie if you have to perpetuate it to keep it going. I'm trying to think, when I, like, growing up, I don't feel like I struggled with this as much. I don't know if my parents were as devious as some of your parents. although I do remember them putting out the milk and cookies. We did that. And I think my dad took a bite out of it. It wasn't as devastating to me when they finally told me, yeah, he's not real. Or I found out he's not real. It just, it didn't really rock me like that. Some people, I guess they waited too long to tell their kids, and they're in their teenage years, they're in college, and they're like, bro, you didn't know Santa was fake? They do the Darth Vader no. And it's just devastating. It rocks their entire world because it's like, you know, they truly believed. They were a believer. They knew that Santa was wiggling his way down the chimney with his high BMI count. But dude, I mean, I get it. It's the way that your parents introduce the concept of Santa and the fakeness of it. That's what's really important. And if you are a parent listening to this, I want to encourage you to maybe lay off like the hard lies. And so, like, I guess the way I wanted to tie in the standing up for your faith thing would be when an atheist presents that argument where it's like, your Jesus is no more real than the Santa that we talk to our kids about. How do we stand up for our faith when people bring objections like that? As I mentioned earlier, a lot of the time, it's just like your parents were just goofballs in the way they went about it. They just wanted it to be magical. They wanted it to be cute, but it might have gotten out of hand, or they perpetuated the lie for too long. And with Jesus, I think some people like live as though Jesus is kind of a fantasy, you know, where they don't necessarily believe that he's real, like the way that they live and the way that they express Jesus to unbelievers. It can come across as though they believe in a fantasy. So that makes sense. I understand the objection. But like the way that I would stand up to somebody or respond to somebody that would make that objection to me would be something like, I get that response. I get it. And this is what I mentioned in the last podcast. Is like, you have to understand, whenever you have objections against what you believe, put yourself in that person's shoes. Try to be like, I get it. I know what you're saying. Try to understand why they would make that objection first, and then stand up for your faith. I'm getting some comments over here. What my parents taught me when they told me that Santa isn't real is that Santa still exists in a sense that it's the spirit of giving to those who are less fortunate. See, that's cute. So Elf on the Shelf would be the same thing, right? I don't know much about Elf on the Shelf. I'm too Hispanic for that. That's more of a not my ethnicity thing. And like my wife is white, so she could probably tell me about what Elf on the Shelf is all about. I don't know. Sam says, I can see how people are hesitant of Christianity when people are saying, praise the Lord, I believe in God. But then they're going against scripture and treating people like the world and living wrong. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was kind of saying earlier. It's like, I think atheists can look at Christians and how they'll stand up for certain things, but they won't stand up for other things that are like moral, or what atheists would deem as moral. One thing that I'm encountering a lot is that atheists or agnostic atheists now, because not a lot of people are calling themselves really like atheists anymore. Most people are calling themselves agnostic atheists, which basically means that they don't know what they believe, but they know they don't believe in one or believe in a deity. But they don't know where to land on that, I think. And that could be a really bad representation. So if you're an atheist or agnostic atheist, come at me, bro. Correct me. Because I'm dumb. But like, that's one thing I'm seeing a lot lately is that agnostic atheists are always like, yo, Christians are immoral. Your Bible is immoral. Your God is immoral. I don't want anything to do with what you believe in. And that's the argument they're making. But what do you guys think about that? Like, have you encountered that? Have you encountered an agnostic atheist? Or have you encountered somebody who doesn't believe in God and they'll hit you with that immorality argument where they'll say the reason that they're not a Christian is because they find that your scripture is immoral, your God is immoral, and your practice is immoral. That's what they'll say. That's like one thing that I've been discovering a lot lately as being like the biggest argument against why people don't want to believe, which I believe that there's answers against that. Like, I certainly believe that the God of the Bible is a moral being, and he is a benevolent being. And I certainly believe that Christianity, by and large, has done, like, the superstructure of Christianity, like Dr. John Wise mentioned, is one of the major contributors to science, advancements of technology, higher learning, things like that. That's what I believe. But, like, what have you done if you've interacted with somebody? Like, how would you respond to somebody if they would confront you with that type of objection where they'd say, because of this in scripture, and because I see your God doing this, and because I see Christians doing this, that is why I'm not a Christian, because Christians are immoral. What would you say to that? How would you respond? Let me see. I agree with that, but I would also say that atheists think Christians are sexist also. As a girl, I run into that often. So yeah, I mean, and I've mentioned this in the past, like, there are certain objections that people have towards Christians, the way that people practice their Christianity, that it's true. It's straight up true. Like, there's a lot of Christian men that will be straight up sexist to women. And, man, I don't know how much I want to talk about this from in my personal life because of, like, what my wife has experienced this in church settings is what I'll say. And I'm really not going to get too much into that because I want to respect her privacy, but you know, my wife's a woman and she's experienced this in church settings. And so it's like, you know, atheists, they got one. They're right. And so if anything, us Christians, we need to be standing up against what's wrong within our own community. And let me just say this too, because one thing atheists or agnostic atheists will say, they'll be like, oh, if you bring up one topic, another Christian's going to come in here and start just tearing up their own. Man, they just love tearing up their own, which is what you would expect from a healthy community, to be honest. An unhealthy community is one where it's an echo chamber where everybody's saying exactly the same exact thing. And when somebody says something wrong, there's no correction. When somebody steps out of line, it's kind of like everybody just, you know, covers them and kind of pushes it under the rug. That's unhealthy. But what you would expect from a healthy environment is people confronting one another and trying to maintain the health of what they believe in. I think that's a healthy environment, which is why echo chambers are online are unhealthy for people's mindsets, because it's like all they believe in and they have no kickback. They have no pushback up against what they believe. And so what they believe is always absolute certain fact, and that's it. Because they don't allow themselves to experience any type of accountability on their beliefs, and they don't have any type of system that would hold their beliefs to a type of scrutiny. And so what they believe is what they believe, and that's it. And they're not willing to be challenged, and that's unhealthy. So I'm going to say that about Christian, like at least modern Christianity. If we're nitpicking at each other, like I like to do against Christians, it's a good thing. Because we're holding each other accountable. Nathan Finocchio, I know a lot of people don't like him, but one thing he said was, you know, food critics love food. And I love that. I love that quote. So if I'm a critic of the church, it's because I love the church and I love Christianity. So I'm going to be a critic of what we do when it's wrong. So I don't want Christians to be sexist, bro. I don't want women to feel unsafe in churches. I don't want children to feel families to feel unsafe in churches. I mean, it is a sad fact that that's what we have to deal with sometimes. So if we're going to stand up for what's right, let's stand up for what's wrong in the church and call it out, because it doesn't belong there. If we want this church to be pure and holy, we got to call it out. And we can't, like the Bible says, we should be pure and blameless, meaning if we're going to be blameless as Christians, people should not be able to point the finger at us and it be right, you know, and sexism being one of them. So, and we talked about this a bit when I did the Can Women Be Pastors podcast. That was a really great discussion, so I highly encourage you to check that one out. But yeah, can women be pastors? That question and that debate has sparked a lot of sexism, and there's even some weirdos on Facebook groups that are like calling women ribs. Cringe, dude. So cringe. Like to say that unironically, that's so cringe. Don't call a woman a rib. It's not even funny, first of all. It's like, it's such a bad take. Even if you're doing it unironically, it's not even that good. So guys, yo, this is an advertisement for anyone who writes online content for a blog or a website. If you're looking to save time writing online content, Phosphor AI is an online service that will save you hours of work with your content creation. Simply type in your title and your AI software. The AI software will get to work writing high quality original articles just for you. You'll need to review the article and take 15 to 20 minutes to make the necessary edits before publishing, but you're good to go right after that. You'll get 3 free articles just for signing up, so you can try out that service and see how it works for you. The pricing is very reasonable for the quality of content that you'll get from the AI writing. Why waste your time writing content when you can get Phosphor AI to do it for you? Try out the service today and see how much time you will save. Go to Phosphor AI, like phosphorus, that's PHOSPHORAI.com, phosphorai.com, to get awesome AI blog writing just for you. It's dope. So yeah, do that. And that would be amazing if you guys would check out that new sponsor. Really great guy I'm working with. Really cool. So help him out. It's just like a brand new AI software that he's developing. So like I said, if you write blogs, if you do any type of writing whatsoever, his AI program is really, really good. So check that out. And I'll put the link up to that in the description of this episode so you can check it out later. Let me catch up on some of these comments because you guys are saying a lot of stuff here. In high school, one of my favorite people to talk to was my atheist friend. We enjoyed challenging one another. That's awesome. As an atheist, love the memes. Thanks so much. Those kinds of atheists are extremists and really shouldn't be listened to. The hating on religion is just out of spite, I mean. Thank you, Wolquill. That's so nice of you. I always give the example, just because a math teacher does something wrong doesn't mean that what they teach is wrong. That's good. I like that. What are y'all saying over here? Some people in Instagram actually very close with a coworker who is, by your definition, agnostic atheist. We have good conversations. That's what's up, France. That's my boy Francis. He's my brother. But yeah, that's what I think. I think if we are going to be standing up for our faith, we should be calling out what people are doing within our faith first. Stand up with, because one of the comments, let me do this. I'm going to look on the comments of the, because I did an Andrew Tate, that Andrew Tate video that Inspiring Philosophy did. I turned it into like a, what's called a Wojak meme. And some people commented saying, we need to stand up for our faith. We can't be steamrolled. And I understand what they're saying. So let me just do that. Let me go to my profile here. Basically, the meme is the one I shared last week on the stream where Andrew Tate, he's saying he doesn't want to be a Christian because he says that Christians are weak. He's like, they burnt down Notre Dame. They burnt Notre Dame to the ground. They're mocking your God right to your face, and Christians don't say a word. And Inspiring Philosophy basically responded by saying, Christ was spit on, and he was beaten, and he was quiet as a lamb to the slaughter. And Scripture also says that we are as lambs to the slaughter. It says that we are like that as well. And Christ also said that we will have troubles in this world, but to take heart that he has overcome the world. Somebody said that awkward moment when a meme page admin can read and apply scripture. Yeah, boy. Somebody said, what's the point of believing in a God that needs you to defend him? That's what I'm saying. And I don't want to sit here and just like read comments to you guys, so I'm going to try and sum it up. I haven't listened to the pod yet, so I'll address some of the things. Some people, Christians, can use this line of thinking to they feel as though they should never defend their faith. For example, fear of persecution, cancellation, loss of a job, friends, whatever, might drive Christians to not respond to these kinds of claims. So basically, he's like, there's a type of standing up for your faith where it's like, if somebody's telling you to renounce your faith, then just tell them no. You know what I'm saying? Here, I'm trying to do my bass sound effect. Tell them no. I'm not going to denounce Christ. I'm too based. And that's what standing up for your faith should look like. And like historically, Christians have been murdered. This like really, really tortured in ancient times, especially like even now, it's still a thing today. Christians getting martyred in places where being a Christian is something that is not really allowed, I guess. And I don't want to speak like I know what I'm talking about because I really haven't done too much research on this, but I've just heard that people are still getting martyred to this day. So like martyrdom is like one of the founding activities of being a Christian is being a martyr. And I think because there's a lack of persecution in America, a lot of Christians like to make themselves become martyrs. They self-martyr themselves and they're like, I'm being persecuted. Ah, I can't express my faith in a way that offends everyone. So I'm being martyred. Ah, I'm being persecuted. That is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, standing for your faith, is when somebody tells you to renounce Christ and you tell them no. When somebody tells you that you can't believe in your faith, you can't share your faith at all. And you know, there's a lot of gray area there. I talked about how sharing your faith can also be just loving people. You can do that, you know, you don't necessarily need to have an air horn at every street corner to share your faith. You can share your faith in a healthy way is what I'm saying. But being persecuted is, I think, like real persecution, what I think it looks like. I'm a dumb meme lord, okay? You tell me what you think. But I think real persecution looks like when you are not allowed to have your faith or express your faith in a healthy way. Within reasonable boundaries. And I did a whole interview with my pastor that I released to as an exclusive episode to my supporters. By the way, go support me, memelordmonday.supercast.com, to get extended interviews and exclusive stuff. Check that out. Go support me for as little as $2 a month. Anyways, I interviewed my pastor and asked him about that, about the persecution of the pandemic church, I guess. And my church, we closed our doors for a little bit. We did online services for a little bit. A lot of people thought that that was persecution. And maybe in some areas it was. Like I said, I don't want to get too deep into this. But like, you can still go to church. You can still go online. You can still experience a lot of the aspects of community online. They weren't saying that you could not be a Christian. So like, that's where I'm at. That's where I was at during that. I didn't feel as though I was being persecuted because I could still worship and I could still express my faith. Just because I couldn't go into a certain building didn't mean I couldn't be a Christian. That's how I interpreted it. I know a lot of people would disagree with me there. But, I mean, what do you guys think? I'm ranting. What do you guys think? Brandy said, hot take, maybe it's more imperative to stand up against destructive teachings with Christianity than to stand up against atheist arguments. That's what I'm talking about. Bam. That's what I'm talking about. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Anyways, back to this comment. Somebody said there's a distinction to be made between God and the flesh not responding to abuse while being crucified and Tom in accounting staying silent because he might lose his faith, standing up for his faith when he may lose his job because of that stance. That's a tough one. And I'll give you an example. So like if your job is saying, you'll lose your job for believing in God, that's one thing. If your job is saying you'll lose your job because you stood up in the middle of a corporate meeting and said, I don't want us to take LGBTQ stances as a company, that's another thing. Like, man, this is what I mean, guys. There's some Christians that will literally stand up in the middle of a corporate meeting and start preaching the gospel and start condemning the company for having for maybe like having some LGBTQ affirming stances, and they'll lose their job because of that, because they're being weird and they're being a jerk. I don't think that's persecution. In my opinion, I don't think that's persecution. I think that's being two-based. I think that's being, you put yourself in that situation when you didn't need to. Like, you can still, I don't think a job is going to fire you because you're a Christian, in the sense that you believe in God and you believe in traditional marriage, and you keep it to yourself, you know? I don't think a job is going to fire you for that. I mean, there may come a day where it's like, if they find out you have those beliefs, they'll fire you. Maybe. And that, I would classify that as persecution. If you're not forcing your beliefs on everyone else, like in a very intrusive and inconsiderate way, you know what I'm saying? If you're not doing that, and you're maintaining your beliefs, and they fire you, that's persecution. But if you're being a straight up dookie head in the middle of a crowded room, condemning everyone because they don't share the same beliefs that you do, it's like, bro, you asked for that one. You know, that's being too based. I'm seeing some comments over here on Instagram. To be fair, American Christians are weak. Our faith is protected constitutionally. We haven't faced persecution that much. Okay, so in that context, yes, we are weak because we haven't had persecution. And we're definitely weak because we don't even know what persecution looks like. We have to manufacture it for ourselves. I agree. Like I was just saying, a lot of people conflate their personal faith with a faith that must be shared with others, and they force their beliefs on others in the name of standing up for what's right. Now, of course, there's an objective truth that we should adhere to, but blowing past nuance and not listening to your opposition only makes their argument seem stronger. I hope this makes sense. Would love it if you check out the podcast and let me know your thoughts. Basically, what I was saying was, if you're a jerk about sharing your faith, nobody wants to hear your faith. If you're sharing your views and you're not open to nuanced perspectives that are significant to what you believe, nobody, like, you're doing it wrong. You're standing up for your faith in a really dumb way. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay, what are you saying, Josh, over here? Christianity is inherently political, but we must win people to Christ before expecting them to vote according to your telling them that we should vote. Telling people how they should vote, that's like a cold take, in my opinion. I didn't want to get political. I don't like to get political. I don't like talking politics on here. Like, sometimes I will, but I just don't like it because I just don't know much about politics. I'm not interested. It doesn't appeal to me. So when somebody says that Christianity is inherently political, I don't know, dude. I don't even know how to respond to that. It could be right, could be wrong. But what I do know is telling somebody they can't be a Christian if they don't vote the same way as you, like, that's rough. That's rough to substantiate. And I know a lot of people will say that you can't. This is what I believe, all right? I'm gonna show my hand a little bit. So, like, I know when people say you can't vote Democrat and still be a Christian, they are meaning that you can't be pro-choice and a Christian. I think that's what they mean. That's because I know a lot of Christians are single issue voters, which makes sense. You know, this is the whole pro-life, pro-choice thing. I believe that some people can maintain a pro-choice position because they want less abortions. I don't agree with them. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life AF as freak. But like, I believe that technically somebody could hold to that stance and vote that way and not necessarily violate their salvation, not necessarily violate the fact that they love Jesus and Jesus loves them. You know, I think you get into really, really murky waters when you start saying you can't be Christian, blah, 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 like judging other people's salvation. Like, you got to be careful with that. You got to really hold the scripture. You got to be really, really tight in the pocket with that one. Cause for two reasons. First of all, people can be saved later, you know, people can become Christian later. So if somebody's claiming to be a Christian now and they're not necessarily a Christian, they don't possess faith, they can always be a Christian later and change their views. So, like, don't tell them they're not a Christian. That's my position. Just chill with that. Calling, you know, pointing the finger at who's a Christian, who's not a Christian. Like, you got better things to do, bro. Stop wasting your time with trying to figure out who's Christian and who's not Christian. Worry about your own Christianity. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So do that, you know, worry about yourself, first of all. And so that was my second point. I said one and two, and I'm big dumb. I forgot to hold to my points. I do think, Brock says, I do think we have to be ready to defend what we believe wholeheartedly as believers, as the Bible says. We can't beat around the bush because that's what the Bible says. Yeah, the Bible says we should have an answer for the faith that we believe in. Sure. And that's what a lot of apologists will use to say that you need to brush up on your apologetics. I don't think that entails you need to know the ins and outs and have the answer for everybody's question. I think we could benefit from saying, yo, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. I think like that's, and here's what I'll see when I'll interact with atheists. They'll say, I would rather a Christian say, I don't know how to answer that. I want to think about that for a while and get back to you, than them pretend like they know what they're talking about, because that is anti-intellectual. I've heard a lot of atheists say that. When I'll go like on the TikTok lives that I'll hop on, and I'll see these crazy Christians that will get a few things right, but then they'll get some other things completely wrong, and they'll dig their heels in and act like they're completely right when they're way wrong about what they're talking about. And they just sound dumb. That's what I mean. I agree. I think if you're a Christian and you don't know what you're talking about, just tell people you don't know what you're talking about. So you don't need to be the authority on every single position that exists. You don't know everything. Joshua Treadway says, many Christians parrot Ben Shapiro and think they are being persecuted for their faith somehow. Oh man. Yeah. A lot of Christians will parrot Ben Shapiro, they'll parrot Ellie B. Stuckey, they'll parrot Matt Walsh, or you know, somebody on Fox News, and then when they find out that what that person is saying is not intelligent and or just rude, and they get persecuted for it, they get called out on it, they'll say that they're getting persecuted for their faith. When the reality is, they're just being dumb. They're being huge dumb, because they haven't really looked into what they're talking about. They're just parroting what someone else is saying. That's not a good thing. Let me see. Brock says, it also says to do it with gentleness and respect. Exactly. Not with baseness and arrogance. Exactly. Yeah, I've mentioned this many times on the show already. If you're going to talk about your faith and the way you should interact with outsiders, the Bible talks more about you being gentle, kind, self-disciplined, loving. You know what I mean? It really harps on those qualities of a Christian more than anything else. I have to work on this because I'm a monster. I'm a straight up monster. If I don't like really watch myself, I'm a jerk. I'm a huge butthead. And I'm like very, very angry and violent by nature. Which is why I like training jujitsu, because it helps like mellow me out. And I have to calm myself down. And I've learned to self-identify that. Like I have those issues within me because I've made decisions based off of those really strong emotions that I can have. And I've had to pay the price for them. Like I've really gone through a lot of bad circumstances because of bad decisions that I've made because I was not self-disciplined. And when I finally figured out that one of the spirit fruits of the spirit of being a Christian was self-control, it changed a lot for me. That is an indicator of being a Christian. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like you don't know what to do in a certain situation, have self-control and just, you know, be straight up about where you stand. If you don't know how to answer an atheist, if you don't know how to stand up for your faith, just say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I think that's good. That's a really humble place to be. I think Bible talks about that position, that posture as being contrite, penitent, humble. Yes, that's it. Contrite. So have a contrite heart. That's basically it, guys. Tell me what you guys think. If you like what I'm doing here on Meme Lord Monday and you want to support me, you can support me by going to memelordmonday.supercast.com. And there's lots of goodies that you'll get for becoming a member. You'll get a premium podcast feed just for you that has a bunch of unedited and exclusive podcast interviews that I've done in the past. And you'll also get access, if you're at the $5 above tiers, you'll get access to coaching, content creation coaching. Like somebody asked me, dude, how do I make a podcast? I'll teach you. I've been doing this for a really long time. Not like I've been doing podcasting for several years, but I've been creating online for a very long time. And so, and I take a lot of training courses. Like to this day, I'm taking 3 courses right now on social media and creation. And just, I like to keep myself updated, and I want to disseminate that knowledge to you through coaching, where I can help you coach you to create for your own podcast, for your business. Because content creation for businesses right now is the best way to go. Millionaires and billionaires, like Grant Cardone, they're all saying they're putting millions of dollars into their social media because it's given them millions of dollars back in revenue. So if you can learn how to create content for your business, you'll make money. And I can help you create content. Right now, I'm in just a little behind the scenes thing before I let you guys go. We are very, very close to signing on the dotted line to getting Memes for Jesus back. And it's basically a done deal. There might be some little nuanced things that might take a few weeks to get figured out, but it's basically a done deal. Like, we're basically going to have Memes for Jesus back. And once that happens, I'm probably going to go dark on the podcast and on the page for a little while just to sort everything out. And then I'll keep you guys in the loop of what's going on. But one of the reasons I'm not as prepared tonight as I usually am is because I'm doing a lot of that stuff, even over the holiday. So keep me in prayer. I'm doing a lot of juggling around, and I want to be able to give you guys fun content that's also thoughtful, and also want to be able to resurrect Memes for Jesus and make that a place where we can promote creators and help bring creators to the spotlight. That's basically it. That's my very long pitch. And I rarely do this. If you haven't done so already, make sure you've liked and subscribed to the YouTube. I want to be able to get that monetized. I got to get my hours and subscription up on YouTube. So that's why I'm doing a lot of streaming on YouTube. That's a free way you can support me if you don't have any money. Or if you want to rate and review the podcast on Apple or Spotify, that also is a free way that you can help support this page if you like what I do and you want to support me. Right, that's it. That's everything I have to say. Thank you so much for watching, guys. I love you. Have a great week. See you next week. Bye-bye.